This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
This is Bump and Beyond, and you are with me, Yolandi Becker, on 101.9 High FM. And it is another time for talking about parenting, and I'm very excited, as always, to join you. Please, as always, as well, I want you to be part of the conversation. And today, we are talking about breastfeeding. For me personally, breastfeeding was one of my most wonderful times with my children. And with my babies and bonding time, and it was wonderful. With my son, it definitely started off a little bit harder than what I would have liked, just because I had advice that I was given that kind of overwhelmed me. And in the end, I just realized he's growing, I have nothing to worry about, and all was good. So that is why it's so important to continue to have these discussions about breastfeeding, is so that you get the best advice to help you as a mom during this journey of breastfeeding. Because in the end of the day, it should be a wonderful experience, but it's not always so easy, unfortunately. Sometimes there are some difficulties that you can experience, and we want to address those as well to make sure that your journey is wonderful. So joining me today is our expert guest, registered nurse and midwife, and SA certified lactation consultant, and of course, mom of two, Katinka Laterhan. Katinka, are you there? I do know you've had some technical difficulties today.
I am here. Thank you so much, Yolandi.
That is wonderful news. Thanks for joining me and talking about this very important topic of breastfeeding. This is something I have to say to you that comes up all the time. And if I have spoken about breastfeeding on the show before, of course I have. Both my children, I breastfed. I mean, Oscar, I think up until 9 months. Emmy, I think closer to 1 year that I breastfed them. As soon as I introduced the bottle with Oscar, he kind of just refused. I took 9 months to introduce the bottle. It took me a very long time, which was fine because I never understood how people were always like, oh no, breastfeeding can be so hard. For me, it was so convenient, to be honest, to just pop him on the boob, and he was a very good drinker. Again, also, I just wanted to put a side note. Love the fact that today I can say boob on live air all the time and it's appropriate. So it's really great for me as well, that part of this discussion. But Oscar then, like I said, as soon as we started with the bottle, it was a whole different story. But let's start, because I have put together today a whole bunch of questions that are, I think, the most frequently, not I think, I Googled this and I got these questions from people. So these are the most frequently asked questions when it comes to breastfeeding. So I hope we get to as many of them as what we can. We will try to work through them. Are you ready, Katinka?
I am ready.
Great. So let's start at the beginning part of it. The part where I know and you know that the beginning of the breastfeeding journey, there is what we call colostrum. That is the breast milk that you get. And it's like a concentrated version of the breast milk, if I'm right. Is that what it is? Is it normal to only have a small amount of colostrum? What's happening there in the beginning?
Okay, yes, you are completely right. And yes, it is only a small volume. Now, if that's okay, I'm going to go back a little bit and talk about the normal physiology of the breast, or breastfeeding as such, so that we can get an understanding of why it's happening the way it does. Okay.
Yes, perfect.
So when we think about pregnancy, that's the time when this whole system starts to prepare for the baby. And then we talk about lactogenesis 1. Now, that is starting around mid-pregnancy. And that is when the breast milk production actually starts. Now, it will not be loads of milk. It's going to be the colostrum from that point already.
Oh, wow.
So, colostrum is present during pregnancy already. And what is preventing that from turning into high volumes is actually the presence of the placenta. So as long as the pregnancy is continuing with the placenta in place, that is suppressing the hormone prolactin that is able, that is the main function of prolactin is then to bring about this copious amount of milk. So when the placenta is delivered with birth, can this hormonal shift change? And that happens as the progesterone levels drop dramatically. So that is a turning point in the milk production. Now, it takes time. It's not like, unfortunately, like a switch to say we are now going into this big volumes of milk. It takes time for this change that happens in hormones to actually take full effect. Now, roughly that process takes 2 to 3 days, but it can even take up to a week for certain moms to enter the second stage, which we call lactogenesis 2. And that is now where we changed to this copious amount of milk. And that's commonly marked with the onset of engorgement. We talk about physiological engorgement because that is the normal process. So that's a little bit of theory.
No,
there.
I mean, that was so super, super interesting as well. But now that also, I mean, that process of this milk to come in or whatever you want to call it. Now you say it usually takes 2 or 3 days, but it can take up to a week. Or is your baby then getting enough milk?
Yeah. So I think we have been designed this way. So it is working with it. Now, colostrum will be the smallest amount on day one, and it will gradually increase per day. So every day there will be a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more until we get to this lactogenesis 2 where we get the high volumes of milk. But our baby's tummy is also very small, so they cannot accommodate large volumes. So it's actually a perfect match between the colostrum that's available and the tummy size of the baby. But just something that's really important here that I need all moms to hear is because the feeding volume is small, we have to remember that we need to wake up our newborn and feed them frequently. They won't be able to go with 1 and 2 or 5 mils of colostrum for hours on end. We need to feed them frequently.
For me, that's also, I mean, that's nice now that you say that, that we need to feed them frequently and wake them up. Mine just woke up. I did not really have to wake them. They woke up because they were hungry.
Good. And that's a real good thing. Now, I've heard once a saying that goes, frequent removal of colostrum is like putting in your order for future milk supply. So we must never underestimate this very important time. I think too often people think, oh, but I don't have milk yet, so what I do now isn't important. But it really is important what we do there.
Okay, perfect. More on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, if you've just joined me or on Bump and Beyond with me, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, today specifically breastfeeding. As always, I would love for you to be part of the conversation. And if you have questions on breastfeeding, I have the expert. I've got Katinka Lotekhan, who's a registered nurse, but also a lactation consultant and mom of two, joining me today to talk about breastfeeding. So if you have questions, I would love to hear what they are. You can send us a telegram on 061-895-1019, or you can SMS us at 34519. SMSs are charged at R1.50 per SMS. If you've got any comments, maybe you're struggling with breastfeeding, maybe you're enjoying breastfeeding, maybe you're planning to breastfeed. Katinka's already enlightened us a lot on how breast milk is formed and how important it is to also stimulate the breast even during that beginning phases. And like I mentioned to you, Katunga, for me, I mean, I know that you should wake a baby, that they shouldn't. How long is the maximum the stretches should be between feeds when with a new, like brand new spanking couple of day old baby?
Okay, I definitely would go, the maximum would be 3 hours. The yes. norm for a breastfeeding baby is to feed between 8 to 12 times in 24 hours. So I wouldn't at any point leave such a young newborn for longer than 3 hours.
Okay, that's great. And when is the point then that you don't have to wake your baby anymore to feed?
Yeah, that is it's a difficult question because I don't think one size fits all. We have to look at the baby specifically. So we're going to obviously see, you know, what is the growth of this baby? How well is feeding going? How effective is the baby at the breast at removing the milk? And also what is, you know, what is the milk volume that's available per feed? So we need to look into all of those things to determine for this specific mom and baby diet, when, you know, can they just go on their own and let the baby alert the mom for feeds.
Yeah.
I don't want to really put a specific age or weight to it because it really depends.
No, because I'm also asking it because for me, like I said, even though I was definitely not waking my babies in the beginning, I don't know why. I think, I don't know if anyone, my babies were very big as well when they were born and no one told me to, but they woke up every like hour or 2 hours. And I mean, you were saying 8 to 12 feeds. And with my son, that meant 8 to 12 dirty nappies. He like literally was feeding, pooping. So that was, yeah, it was really fun. It was really like it's flooding back to me all this work I put in.
It's so normal.
He needs to be nicer to me, I feel. Great. So you said that in the beginning also that obviously it is important to know that your breasts are producing enough milk, even though it might not feel that way, things are happening. But yeah, how would you know if you have enough milk or not?
Okay. So that's a very big question, and lots of moms ask that. So there's different things that we can look at to know, is my baby getting enough? And one of the first things, you talking about pooping, is one of the things we're going to look at. So we do want the baby to have lots of wet and dirty nappies, as that gives us an indication of what they are taking in. If I see a young breastfed baby below the age of 4 weeks, I want to see at least 3 to 4 stools per day. If they are not having that amount of stools, I am wondering what is happening with the intake. But stooling can change in a breastfed baby after 1 month, and then they can go on and skip some days in between, which is also fine. But that shouldn't happen in the very beginning. Okay. So that is what the mom can look at, is the nappies. And then for me, I'm also, you know, working in a clinic situation where I often see babies, measure them, weigh them, and immunize them. So I am most definitely looking at the weight gain. And I really recommend that new moms who are breastfeeding take their babies to their nearest clinic to weigh the babies at least once a week, because that is going to give them that peace of mind to know that, you know what, okay, I can see on the scale that my baby is growing. So that is another way that we can look at it. And then the babies, a behavior is also telling us a lot of things. If your baby is doing a good feed, taking a break, you know, taking a good nap, waking up, feeding again, and kind of following a happy rhythm, that baby is most likely also happy and not hungry, if that makes sense. So there is a few things that we can look into to know, you know, how is things going.
Yeah. So one of the things earlier I was mentioning that I got some advice with Oscar that there was quite overwhelming for me as a new mom with regards to breastfeeding. My breastfeeding consultant, or the person that was at the hospital told me that he needs to feed about 20 minutes when drinking. And in all honesty, if Oscar fed 20 minutes on the breast in his entire life once, it was a lot. That kid went to town, and most feeds took me about 5 to 10 minutes, even from small. He would not, but he was gaining a crap load of weight and whatever. And I became so obsessed and nervous because I was thinking he's not getting enough milk because he was not drinking 20 minutes. So I became so obsessed, and I cried because I was just like, my kid's not getting enough milk because he's not drinking 20 minutes. He's only drinking 10 minutes. How long does your breastfeed take?
Oh, Sean. Yolanda, I wish I could give a time like that. But every mom and every baby is so different. So I really educate moms to look at the baby and not the clock, because it's different. So I also teach moms to look at swallowing. If the baby's at the breast and you can see or hear the swallow, then we know the baby's feeding. Now, maybe it's different now to what you've experienced, but sometimes we get moms very concerned because my baby's feeding so long.
Yes, I've had that lots of times with clients as well. With the moms, like, now this baby is drinking for an hour and a half. I'm like, that baby's not drinking for an hour and a half.
So that's exactly where the swallow comes in so handy, because it's normal for babies to soothe and have non-nutritive sucking at the breast, meaning they are on the breast, they are suckling here and there, taking pauses, but we are looking at the swallowing to know, is this baby feeding? Is the baby actually getting milk? Now, if a baby is having a fantastic latch and milk removal from the baby's side is working well, and that compared with the mother's flow of milk, her lay down, how quick that is, what is the volume of her lay down. So all those things will play a role in determining how long the baby will feed for. I think if your baby feed for a short time, but he's gaining weight and growing beautifully, that's fantastic. I don't think that's a concern. So I really would want the moms to start watching the baby and not the clock.
Oh, and like I said, my son was just a really good sucker from the beginning. And it was quite handy because wherever I went, I could just quickly feed him like 5 minutes and he was done. And then we could go on with socializing and doing our things. So it was really quite handy. But I mean, again, also now you're talking about that non-nutritive sucking, and which is also very normal, obviously, for newborn babies. They're in essence, it's in their DNA and they're built for the sucking, and it's quite soothing for them as well in the beginning. But in the same breath, I mean, that's quite a lot of nipple time we're talking here. Because should breastfeeding, let me rather ask it that way, can breastfeeding be painful?
Okay, so I want to not answer this straight away. I want our listeners to do a little practical thing with me. Okay, so I'm going to ask everybody to take the tongue behind their front teeth and just feel that ridge that's behind your front teeth. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's hard. And there's some ridges on it, okay? Now, if your nipple is there, the tongue is going to compress that nipple against that hard ridge, okay? If you are at a place where you can access your breast right now, and I want the men to do it as well. I want the dads to feel it. So
I'm loving the show today.
So take your nipple between your thumb and index finger and literally pinch it, okay? So if the nipple is too shallow in the mouth, that which you've just felt pressing on the nipple is what feeding is going to feel like, Okay.
Yes.
So that is painful.
Yes.
Okay. That's really painful, but that is not where the nipple should be. Okay. Now, we lactation consultants, we speak a lot about a deep latch. And now I want you to go back to your mouth with your tongue. Take it now from that ridge slightly backward. Mm-hmm. Then you feel it turns soft.
Yes.
Okay. Now that is what we refer to as the safe zone. If your nipple goes and reach extend to that safe zone, which is the soft palate, now there is no pinching happening on the nipple. That latch is onto the areola. The nipple is literally floating at the back of the baby's mouth where that soft palate is. So can breastfeeding hurt? Absolutely. If you're doing it wrong, if there's a shallow latch, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt big time.
Yeah.
But if things is going right, so that means the baby is taking that nipple in to the back of their mouths, né? So
yes.
Positioning, latch, anatomy of the baby's mouth and all of those things is in place, then breastfeeding should not hurt.
And I mean, that's also, I mean, obviously now with our mouths, Dwee, I hope all of you, because I was solidly doing all of that just now. but obviously with a baby's mouth also, of course, it's smaller than our big adult mouth. So that latch, even though it's deeper, is not as deep as an adult mouth. So it makes sense. How you explained it was really great. Thank you, Katanka. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM. This is Bump and Beyond. And as always, we are talking parenting. And today we are talking breastfeeding with lactation consultant Katanka Lotegan about breastfeeding and answering the most common questions when it comes to breastfeeding. And it's been very insightful already. If you've missed it so far, don't worry, don't fret. It is going to be available as a podcast afterwards. So please go look at it on our website, highfm.com, where you can have a look at it and all of our other shows as well. So you can get insights on various topics when it comes to parenting. Breastfeeding, of course, as well. We all are, Katanka, like ambassadors for breastfeeding. And lots of the time we say breast is best and wonderful. But what are the benefits of breastfeeding?
Okay, so there's quite a few benefits of breastfeeding, and I'm sure we actually know it when we think about it. I don't want to do some thumb sucking here. I want to go back to the World Health Organization guidelines for you on this specific one.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to highlight a few of the benefits. So the first one is that breast milk is the ideal food for the baby. Okay, so that means it contains the right quantity of energy and nutrients according to the baby's age. Because breast milk is not the same all the time, it keeps on changing. So your breast milk changes with your baby. So it will supply in all of their energy and nutrient needs in the first 6 months of life. Okay, now if we look at the amount of breast milk feeds, for this first few months in their life, breast milk alone is sufficient for the first 6 months. From 6 months to 12 months, breast milk is taking up half of the daily nutrient intake will be breast milk. And if we look at what past 1 year, let's say 1 to 2 years, it's still making up 1/3 of their total daily intake. So it's really sufficient in terms of supplying nutrients and energy for our young children. Okay, but that is now just food, right? And we know breast milk is not only food. It's a fantastic food, but it's not only food. It's even more than that. Now, breast milk contains antibodies, so it's boosting the immune system. Now, we know that babies are born without primed immunity. So we are giving that to our babies through our breast milk while we are breastfeeding, protecting them while they are building up their own immunity. So that's a very big one.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, then another one, and I think every single parent will want to get this benefit, is that we are talking about intelligence. So there's been quite a bit of research done in terms of intelligence tests and how our breastfeeding babies are actually doing and scoring on those tests. And there has been links found that is literally just because the baby was breastfed that there was improvements on that scores.
Oh, so wow. Kids.
So, clever babies, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it is very, I mean, for me, just the fact that the way, I mean, from the start, how you explained how the breastfeeding works from pregnancy, how it starts forming, and it's beautiful. It's actually amazing our female bodies, what they're capable of doing, and then providing everything we need for little babies in that beginning phase. For me, it's also, and I mean, that's the thing, is that, like you said, in the end, breastfeeding is more than that. And I think there's also the, obviously, the bonding aspect of it. That's also a giant benefit. And the good hormones that comes with it as a mom.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think there's benefits that's going far beyond the basic things that we are touching on. I'm just now quickly thinking about, you know, when a mom, and that's a very common momhood thing, we have goals, né? And it's very easy to doubt ourselves. So what I also try to do to help mom get small, achievable goals, because achieving a goal is going to boost up her confidence in herself. So breastfeeding, achieving that, being able to you know, to supply for my baby is a very good thing on, in terms of the mental health of the mom as well. But in saying that, breastfeeding is definitely not always easy. Yes, I know it's natural, but it's hard work. It is really hard. So it's important that we as a community is also available to support our new moms, you know, and to take your friends' hands when the going is tough, and, you know, just help and encourage them in order to still do the good things.
Yes.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. It's brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, again, the show is coming to a strong end, but it's been such a great show talking about breastfeeding and answering some of the most frequently asked questions when it comes to breastfeeding. My guest today, Katinka Lotegan, who's a registered nurse and midwife, and she's an SA-certified lactation consultant and mom of two. So very much expert level here that we're talking about. We've talked a lot already about various things breastfeeding, and of course, obviously, the benefits of breastfeeding. But just as we went to ad break, you were also mentioning that it's even though breastfeeding is natural, it doesn't always come naturally, and it can be quite difficult. We've already spoken about the fact that breastfeeding shouldn't be painful, and the latch and the correct latch is obviously very important and can be helpful to reduce certain things. But with my daughter, for instance, as well, I had some blocked ducts that happened. Why, I don't know. I can't even remember why those, maybe you can shed light on it. But what do you do if you suspect a blocked duct, and what should you do to prevent it? Help a little bit on this side.
Thank you, Yolandi. Yes. So there's been a lot of research actually going on this very topic. And everything that we were believing is actually now changed after this latest information. So, the whole spectrum of inflammation of the breast. So we are actually not referring to specific conditions like, let me say, a blocked duct or engorgement, you know, pathological engorgement or mastitis or things like that anymore. We are referring to it as on a spectrum. And that is actually then seen that it won't be a single duct that's actually blocked, but it's going to be more an area of the breast or a segment in the breast that is inflamed. Now, we know what happened with inflammation is when an area of your body become inflamed, it will get red, it will swell, it will be painful, and it can even be hot to touch. So that changes is what's happening in areas of the breast. Now, yeah, we don't know exactly what the reason for that is, but that can be from anything that's going to irritate the structures. So anything that's going to increase inflammation in the breast can actually now put us on this spectrum. Oftentimes, it's also linked to dysbiosis. Now, we were speaking about, you know, the natural effect of breastfeeding is where the baby's mouth is on the breast. Now, nowadays we have lots of pumping and that we've got lots of things that's not natural, let me put it like that. Now, that is a great thing, but that can sometimes contribute to actual problems like this because we don't have that balance between the mom's nipple and the baby's mouth. So that is actually disturbing the normal flora of the skin of the nipple. And then another common thing that contributes to this is oversupply. Now, we can talk a lot about oversupply also because I think that's a trend that we are seeing more and more is that moms are led to believe that they need to be able to feed the babies and to be able to pump, to store when they go back to work and so on. And that's not really the way it should be. That is actually oversupply and that increases their risk of developing these areas of inflammation in the breast. But saying that, I do have some good news also, and that is that we want to obviously prevent this. We definitely know that prevention is always better than cure, and the quicker we actually identify it and manage it, the quicker we can get improvement for that. So I'm going to share with you also what is the latest guidelines on how we are treating any mom that's falling on the spectrum. And there's a little acronym for this with the name of BAIL. So if we look at the B, we are talking about breast rest. Now, in the past, when we suspected there was a blockage of some sort, we were saying, but we need to empty that. We have to pump and feed more and do rigorous massages in order to get that out. But now we know that that is actually aggravating it. So we need to go back to natural feeding. So we're going to feed our baby directly on the breast, or if we have to pump, then we're going to pump, but we're going to do it within the normal limits. We're not going to overdo it. So we're going to do it just in order to feed the baby. Okay. Yes. So that is breast rest. The A stand for anti-inflammatories. Okay, so now that we know it's inflammation, we can use medication that is suitable and that's safe in order to reduce the inflammation. Now, again, thinking about what's happening in the breast, there's that swelling. You see, just imagine your milk ducts that's now swollen. So the lumen is actually getting smaller, making it harder for the milk to pass through. So we want to get rid of that inflammation, and then anti-inflammatories help. The I is standing for ice. Now, again, we were doing hot compresses for many years, adding warmth, but warmth is actually aggravating the inflammation. So now we are completely turning that around and we're going to ice. So we want to add cold compresses to this inflammation as that will reduce the blood flow to the area and that will reduce the swelling of the area. So now again, milk can flow better. Okay. And then the L stands for lymphatic drainage. We are completely moving away from harsh massaging and pressing this blockage out. We are actually not doing any of that because, as I said, that actually aggravates it. But we can do lymphatic drainage to assist moving away any excess fluid, so swelling, né? And that will be with a very, very gentle stroke. I have read somewhere, you know, a person explaining the type of pressure that we use is how you will put lotion on your baby's face. So it's very, very, very gentle. So we are really treating this now according to this latest protocol number 36 of your Academy of Breast Milk Medicines.
That is so interesting and so helpful. Like you said, kind of the complete opposite of what I was doing. But like I said, unfortunately, we're running out of time soon. And we'll get your details just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Time flies when you're having fun, and this was such a great show. If you've missed it, remember that the podcast is going to be available on highfm.com afterwards, so you need to go listen to it. There was so much information about breastfeeding that is so helpful. It's really going to change your landscape when it comes to breastfeeding. My guest today was registered nurse and midwife and SA certified lactation consultant and mom of two, Katinka Laterhan. Before you go, Katinka, maybe just share with people, where can they find you? What's your details? Where can they follow you on the socials?
Thank you, Yolandi. Yeah, I must say, I'm not so big on the socials, but I'm a little bit old school. But I think the easiest way they can reach me is on my WhatsApp number. So you can send me a message, and then I know in between consultations I can reach out to you. And the WhatsApp number is 082-562-023. And I am based in Roodepoort, Belderfilm Park to be specific. So if you are around me and you need some help, you can just send a WhatsApp to that number and I will gladly assist.
Oh, Katinka, like I said, it was really great having you. Thank you so much for joining me. And we are going to have to do that because I didn't get to all the questions that I had to ask about breastfeeding. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Thank you so much, Lindy. Bye.
And like I said, just like that, another show has come to an end. It was so great talking about breastfeeding. In all honesty, for me personally, it was, and I mean, it's really, I actually thinking about it, my kids now 10 and 12, it's a very long time ago. And in the greater scheme of things, it's actually a blip in their existence. But I can still clearly remember it, meaning that how present I was in that moment, really enjoying and taking it in. And that's also important to remember, that enjoy it. And if you're struggling, get help, because there's really so many great lactation consultants in South Africa readily available. And also remember that the Dis-Chem Baby City baby clinics also have clinic sisters. If you're wondering if your baby is gaining weight or anything, go to them, weigh your baby, get some advice from those clinic sisters. They are really so well-informed and wonderful. You can't go wrong. So please do go check that out. Next week, I'm talking more about mom than baby. Next week, we are going to be chatting weight loss after pregnancy with registered dietitian Lisa Snyman. Also a good one. So if you have some questions and wondering, and I mean, this is not to put pressure on you at all. In the end of the day, we all get to that journey and our whatever, even if you don't get to your pre-weight, but it's about being healthy and taking care of yourself as well, because we can't take care of our children if we don't take care of ourselves. So that's what next week's conversation is about, is being healthy and taking care of yourself after pregnancy. But one of the greatest gifts you can give your child is the example of kindness. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, enjoy your day.